Amen. It's good to see everybody after the home group meeting tonight. 2021 has come in with a storm, as we can see in the world, and I think in 21 God is going to find out who really loves Him and who really wants to do those things that He wants them to do in their lives. I really believe God is going to be separating the sheep from the goats. Let me say that again. God is going to be separating the sheep from the goats. He already knows who the sheep and the goats are. The question is, do you? Amen? But tonight, let's go ahead and let's just get into, before I get into what the Lord has for us tonight, after prayer and talk with Karen and some others, we're going to go ahead and take a break from the home group meetings. Now, you know, we will go ahead and we will start those back up, but we're going to take just a little sabbatical, just a little break, and we'll get that going again. And when we get it going again, wilderness, future modern times will be no more. And I will start a series on biblical elements for daily living. Let me say that again. I will be starting a series. I already have a number of teachings, and these will be biblical elements for our daily living, which is very, very important. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. And as we do, we always kind of look at what we looked at last time that we got together. And so last time we got together, we were looking at testings. Wow, testings. What a wonderful thing in our life, but most Christians have no desire for to be tested by God. But testing is the way that we are approved and we qualify for those things that we get from God, because nothing in God is free. In this world, we like to have free things, but there's no free lunch in God. And I will tell you, if you want to go on in God in spiritual things, then you will have to endure those tests that He has for you and those lessons for you to learn. Amen? The wilderness truths of modern times have always been for the deeper-hearted people, the people that are really committed to God and really have a desire for the Word of God and for truth. So if you did not get a lot of the wilderness truths of modern times, all I can say is I have copies and I can share those with you. Listen to them and then set them aside for 5 years and then pull them out and you'll go ahead and see what you missed the first time. So let's go ahead and just get into what we went ahead and looked at last time at a number of points, and then we will get into Wilderness Truths from Modern Times, number 87. The first point is testing. God does not send us into the wilderness with much. And that is for a reason. So God will send us into the wilderness, into tough times, into rough circumstances, into, areas and things in our life, that we think is going to kill us, but in essence, they won't. But He sends us into the wilderness with a little bit of supply, because He wants this time in the wilderness to be a time that is meaningful, that it is useful in our life. And if not, then our time will not be very useful spent. The next point, the test is to be real enough so that we think we are going to die. The test is to be real enough. It is to be tough. It is to be difficult enough so that we think we're going to die. But we know we're not going to die, because the Bible tells us that God will allow nothing, no test in our life that He hasn't already made a way of escape for. Amen? And so He doesn't want us to fall away. So the test will be real and it will be difficult, but He doesn't want us to fall away. Many Christians during testings of the Lord will fall away and they will die in God. They will get offended and they'll become unteachable and they become crazy and they just kind of fall away from what the Lord would have. Amen? The third point is, after we stop crying and make our adjustments to what God is doing, we make our discovery in God. We make our discovery in God. That's after we make the adjustment, because we have to make that adjustment so that we have to adjust to what God is doing in our life so that we can discover what God wants us to do. And the fourth point, even for Jesus, the wilderness was a test. And we looked at testing last time, and we saw that Jesus went into the wilderness, and it was a test for him. Now remember, Jesus went into the wilderness not as the Son of God, but he went into the wilderness as the Son of Man. In Mark 1:12, it says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. And that tells me that Jesus kind of knew what was coming, and he really probably didn't want to go. But who really wants to go into a test? Who really wants to do 40 days of fasting and hungering and all of these things? Well, maybe even Jesus didn't want to do that, but he knew he had to because he had to do this to, you know, receive, you know, for the will of his Father. Again, Jesus took little into the wilderness as the Son of Man, because he went into the wilderness not as the Son of God, in which he was. He went into the wilderness as the Son of Man. There he hungered, and there he was tempted. Amen. Point number six is, he did not go into the wilderness with power. Jesus did not go into the wilderness with power. The Father gave Jesus the power after he completed the test. Let me say that again. Jesus did not go into the wilderness with all this power and anointing and all of this stuff that you see. It was after Jesus passed the test, he received the power. Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Let me say that again. After the test, after the wilderness, after our wilderness experience, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Point number eight, the testing is now over, and the devil departs. You can see that in Luke 4:13. Angels come and even strengthen Jesus. That's in Matthew 4:11. Because he was the Son of Man. He was broken, but you know, he was hungry and 40 days and so forth. So angels came and strengthened him. And now Jesus can begin his ministry. After the test, after the devil departs, after the angels strengthen him and so forth, now Jesus is able to begin his ministry. After the test, Jesus begins his ministry. The last point is no testing, no ministry. Let me say that again. No testing, no ministry. No testing, no power. So many Christians want the power, they're anointing, they want to be able to do all of these wonderful things and all these miracles. But they do not want to go through those things that God has for them in their life to be able to receive that power. Jesus went through hell on earth in the wilderness so that he could receive the power. Amen? Yeah. Wilderness Truth from Modern Times, number 87, the verse Luke 4:1 says this, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. We can see that when John the Baptist baptized him and the Holy Spirit came down and lighted on him and stuff like that. So now Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and he returned from the Jordan, the river, and then he was led. Of course, Mark said he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. But tonight what we want to talk about is in the power of the Spirit. Amen? In the power of the Spirit. I will tell you, unless you move in the power of the Spirit, you will not be able to move in God. Let me say that again. Unless you move in the power of the Spirit, you will not be moving in the power of God. Jesus did not go into the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, but notice how Jesus came up out of the wilderness and what happened. Luke 4:14-15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all of them. The children of Israel never moved in the power of the Spirit. So many Christians today do not move in the power of the Spirit. They go to church, it's all about religion, they do the religious things, they satisfy the God of the denominations and the churches and stuff like that, but they never ever move in the power of the Spirit. For 40 years, the children of Israel, and we went through all the different wilderness experiences and spent detail, I mean like 3 years, that we have looked at this wonderful truth of the wilderness through some modern times. But of those 40 years of the wilderness experience for the children of Israel, they never moved in the power of the Spirit. Wow. We must be full of the Holy Spirit if we want to minister like Jesus. We must be full of the Holy Spirit if we want to minister like Jesus. Again, the children of Israel never, ever moved in the power of the Spirit. Jesus did not engage in his ministry before his wilderness experience. No, he didn't. His ministry came afterwards. First things first. And that's the spiritual principle in God. First things were always first. First, he had to meet his testings, his trials. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the grace of but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now, notice this. There's a run. After that ye has suffered a while, number one, amen, make you perfect, number two, number three, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. After you have suffering. Suffering comes first. First things first. And, if you want to receive the power of God, well, there's going to be a little bit of suffering there. Then after you suffer a while, then you are made perfect. Suffering makes us perfect. And that word perfect is not like a beautiful flower or an apple or something like that. That word perfect there is translated selfless. Is selfless. And after you suffer a while, then you become selfless, because suffering kind of takes care of ourselves. Suffering kind of brings us down into a place to where we don't see ourselves and the vainglory and all of that good stuff. And God is able to speak to us and do some things in us. And after we suffer a while, when we become selfless, then we will be established. And then we'll be strengthened. And then God will be able to settle us. We will not be able to be settled in God unless God can strengthen us with might in the inward man. Not in the outward man. The strength of God does not happen in our outward man, where we can strut on the stage and look and turn and use all this voice inflection and all that good stuff. That is not the ministry or the power of God. It's the strength of the inner man, the inward man, as Paul said. Oh, that they may be strengthened in the inward man. Once we get strengthened in the inward man with the power of God in our spirit, then that will settle us. We will never, ever be able to minister like Jesus did unless we go and we have suffered and we have, become selfless like Jesus and established and strengthened in the inward man. Because when all of that happens, then we can be settled. We are brought into that which Jesus experienced. We are brought into that which Jesus experienced. We enter into that which Hagar entered. Paul entered. All of those who have qualified ahead of us have went through this process. They have suffered. They have become selfless in themselves. They've been established. They've been strengthened. And they have been settled. But this is the order: suffering, made perfect, selfless, established, strengthened, and settled. Amen? There we meet the testings and the trials and other difficulties head on. Let me say that again. There we meet the testings and the trials and other difficulties head on. We walk the way the children of Israel walked, the way of the wilderness. There, as it was with them, we meet our trials and our testings in God. That's God's plan for our life, is we are to meet our trials and our testings, even our temptations, that is not of God. God tests us. He doesn't tempt us. But even those temptations that we face from the world and from the evil one, we are to face those in God head on. We come into situations which are impossible, which threaten our very existence, our very life, and we don't have much strength, but we face them in God, because He will go ahead and He will strengthen us. There is no other way to be successful in God. Again, there is no other way for us to be successful in God. Why? And this is why there's little success in most churches. I mean, most churches, really, they have a really, you know, good praise and worship service. They sing songs, they, you know, do all those things. But there's not really any true success. There's not true a building of character. You know, there's just not much success in God in most churches. Most churches are like the children of Israel, very, very religious, keeping the law, but they never really moved in the power of the Spirit. I can remember growing up, you know, in church, somehow the power of God was suddenly dropped, and oh my gosh, it was, you know, and you knew without a shadow of a doubt that is the power of God, and wow, it's just unbelievable. You know, I haven't had that experience 20 or 30 years. I don't know why. I don't think it's me. Well, I know it's not me. I think it's just, well, the churches aren't moving in the power of God. We do not have adequate provisions. We discover that we lack. What a wonderful blessing in our life is we lack. Most Christians, you know, they want to know their strengths, and they want bountiful, and they want to be blessed, and I'm blessed, and you're blessed, and everybody's blessed, and, you know, but that's not really a blessing. What we need to discover is our lack. Unless we can come into this discovery, we'll never be able to see God's power and His strength and be filled with the Spirit. Unless we can see our lack, we will never be able to come into God's power and strength and be filled with the Spirit. Discovering our lack is the greatest revelation God can bring to us. If you're taking notes tonight, you need to write that down. Discovering our lack is the greatest revelation God can bring to us. More than opening all of the truths in the Bible. All the truths are very, very important. But the biggest truth we need to come to is the lack of, you know, our lack, so that God can meet that lack. Either we see what we have, or we discover what God has for us. Let me say that again. Either we see what we have, we see our strengths and our abilities and what we can do and all that, or we discover what God has for us. And we discover what God has for us when we meet, you know, when we discover our lack. Jesus said, "I of myself, I can do nothing," in John 5:19. Jesus knew his lack. Jesus met his lack when he was in the wilderness, when he was being tested. He saw his lack, and he hungered, and during that time, then the Father was able to fill him even more, and he came up out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Wow. If God opens our understanding without being broken, which he will never do, we would try to move in the truths, in the strength, in this world, and this, my friend, will end in great loss and even death in a lot of cases. Don't worry, God protects His Word from one people, you know, from people like that. You turn on the TV or whatever, these people are moving in their own strength, and they say they're moving in the strength of God, but they're not, because there's no manifestation of glory. There's no truth. There's no manifestation of God, you know, in these ministries. It's all just built on self-strength and emotions and things like that. Don't worry. God protects His Word. He will give them a chance to be broken and lined up with His Word, but if not, they will be pulled up from the ground and they will be cast away. They may still be a Christian, but not one who moves, they still may be a Christian, but not everyone who moves, they may be a Christian, but not one who moves in the power of the Spirit. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that word Christian, I'm kind of trying to work that word out of my vocabulary, and I'm trying to work in that word believer. Because if you say you're a Christian, well, you could be a Catholic, or you could be Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, you know. I mean, they all say, you know, they believe in this and the Bible and stuff like that. but they don't believe in the gospel message. They don't believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so these will be people they call themselves Christians, but they will not be moving in the power of the Spirit. The church is full of Christians with no power of the Spirit.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The church is full of Christians with no power of the Spirit. They fake it till they think they make it. Yeah, they do. But God has nothing to do with this. God has nothing to do with this. America is in darkness. Great darkness is covering our land. Well, the church is supposed to be repelling the darkness, supposed to be holding the darkness back, but the church is over in so many areas of self-grandization and you know their programs and not moving in the power of the Spirit, the darkness is just having a field day. Why do you suppose does God bring us into difficulties? He does this in order to squeeze things out of us. Bad attitudes, squeeze things like unbelief, independence, self-sufficiency, pride, and such things are to be squeezed out of us. This will make room for Him to be, to put things in us which He wants us to have. Unless God can squeeze things out of us, squeeze all of those character flaws and all the bad attitudes and all that wrong thinking out of us, then He'll never be able to put His thinking and His things into us. But that is a spiritual principle. Yeah. God must put us into a fix so He can fix us. Let me say that again. God must put us into a fix so He can fix us. If God can't put us into a fix, then He'll never be able to fix us. And it is us allowing God to put us into some circumstances and some situations so He can fix us. Most Christians don't want that to happen. They just want to go ahead and just go along just to get along. But when God really begins to work in their life, they reject His God, and they're off there on their own, and that's not the way that it works. Unless God can squeeze us, we will have no power. Unless God can squeeze those things out of us, we will have no power. To have the stuffing squeezed out of us is quite an experience. Just think what our tube of toothpaste goes through every day. Soon, there isn't anything left of it, and so we throw it away. But God doesn't do that. He takes the empty, and He fills them with something better than they had before. God squeezes up, He squeezes all of these things out of us, and then He fills us with something than what we had in us before. God must be able to empty us of this world and ourselves. Let me say that again. God must be able to empty us, to squeeze all the stuff out of us, our love for the world and our love for ourselves, to be able to survive in 2021 and beyond. So many Christians I hear say, oh, 2021 is going to be a better year than 2020. I do not believe that. I think 2021 will be tougher. I think 2021 will be more dangerous, and there will be more darkness, and there will be, 2021 is going to be a horrible year, I really believe, for people that have not put their faith in Jesus Christ. And those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ and are committed and dedicated to what He wants, I believe it will be a tremendous year of spiritual understanding and growth. Amen? He is going to beautify us. He's going to glorify us and put the radiance of Himself in us. Put in us His own beauty, His own grace, His own power, and His own glory. Can we see that? Will it become a part of our vision? All of His quality goes in when all of ourself has been squeezed out. All of the qualities of God, all of that stuff God wants to put into us individually, but that cannot be put into us unless He is able to squeeze ourself and all of those things out of us. If God cannot empty us, then we cannot be filled of Him and His things. Emptying first things first. filling comes second. Amen? Emptying comes first, filling comes second. Peter experienced the squeezing and came to the realization, I am not as good as I thought I was. And you can check this out in Mark 14, 29 through 31, Mark 68 through 14, 68 through 72, and John 21, 15 through 18, especially John 21, 15 through 18. Peter had to admit his weakness. Wow. What a place in God. What a holy place in God when we can come to a place and say that God has showed us our lack and we can see our lack and we are weak, because when we become weak, then He becomes strong. That way Peter could learn and come to the purpose which God intended for him. Peter discovered what we all need to discover tonight, and that he discovered his lack. Unless we too learn our lack, we will never be able to come to God's purpose for our life. Unless we too learn our lack, we will never, ever, no, never come to God's purpose for our life. What a discovery. For then we discover we can lean on our shepherd, and we can be brought up out of the wilderness of Beersheba with so much more than what we went into. Remember, Hagar went into the wilderness of Beersheba with just a little bottle of water and a fist size of bread. But there, God spoke to the boy, and they ended up living there. Wow. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Song of Solomon 8:5, and it says, who is he coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on his beloved? Well, our beloved is the Lord. And unless we go into the wilderness and learn, that learning process can be very, very painful in our life. That learning process is that testing, that God, will put us through, so that we can learn to lean on Him. Unless we learn to lean on the Lord, then we're not be coming up out of the wilderness, I will promise you. As I'm standing here, I look over and I see Jesus with this little sheep, with this little sheep around his neck. We have a little statue here of that. And with Song of Solomon, who is he coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on the beloved? Every time I see that little sheep around Jesus' neck, I hear so many Christians say, oh, how wonderful Jesus is, and how kind, he's carrying that sheep, and the sheep must be tired, No, that's not why Jesus is carrying that sheep. Jesus is carrying that sheep because that sheep was strayed, from away from the flock. It would get out on the edges and the fringes of the flock where the wolves were. So Jesus had to train that sheep. He had to teach that sheep. There was some testing that sheep had to go through. And Jesus would take that sheep's leg and he would break it. And then after he would break it, he would put that sheep up on his shoulders and he would carry that sheep. And as that leg would, it would heal, and then that sheep would get a very, very good smell and would come to depend on the shepherd, and the scent and the sheep would not want to lose that, the presence of that shepherd. And when the shepherd would put the sheep down, the sheep wouldn't go very far. It would stay within sight of the flock. It would learn the lesson that it needed to, that would prevent him from being captured and taken away by the wolves. And that is the same thing that God will do in our lives. When we go into the wilderness, God is working in our life and through difficulties and hard times and, just tough areas in our life. But God is, teaching us, and, even if He has to break our leg to get us to stay put. And yes, God has His ways of getting our attention. And that would be a great place to say amen there. Amen?
Amen.
Go into the wilderness of Beersheba, cry your tears, get upset, get uptight, get confused, get all turned around, have a good cry, but don't worry. God will be around before you die. Again, God's testing will bring us to the point to where we think we're going to die, but You know, the Bible says that there's no testing that God puts on us that He doesn't give us a way of escape. God doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to fall away. The testing will seem like we're going to die, but we won't. Don't worry, God will be around before we fall out of Him. You must make your adjustment. God does not adjust to us. God does not adjust to us. We must make our adjustment to God. If we do, we will make our discovery, what God is doing in our life. God will give us what He has for us. Wow, God has so many wonderful things for us, but we need to make our adjustments. You know, we need to adjust to what He's doing, you know, in our lives and so forth, so that He can bring those things into our life. And that will be quite a prize package, I promise you. It is discovery to the situation. Then we make our adjustment to find the power of the Spirit. So unless we make our adjustment to God, then we will never be able to find the power of the Spirit. This is our responsibility. God is not going to say, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, not test Dave, or, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and just give him the power of the Spirit. That's not the way it happened with Jesus. Jesus was tested, then he came up out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. This is our responsibility. This is our reasonable services, not God. Some parting thoughts. The wilderness of Bathsheba is a place of wandering, despair, discoveries, adjustments, and beginnings. Tremendous wilderness in our life. It was the last wilderness that, you know, that we will look at. It is our place of lack and weakness. Wow. It is our place of lack and weakness. I will promise you, unless you can come into a place of lack and weakness, then you will not be coming up out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. But you must always remember that it is the place where God hears you. This is where God draws you to a richer, fuller life in Him. In 2021, what do we want? What do we want? It is ours for the willingness to go into the wilderness. In 2021, whatever we want in God, it is ours if we have a willing heart to go through those things that God will purpose for us, the tough situation, those learning processes that God has for us. In our adjustments, the wilderness becomes our satisfying dwelling place. As we saw that Hagar and Ishmael and other people just, you know, they just became at home in the wilderness of Beersheba, and they grew and they thrived. Do not attempt to leave this place of your own. You know, listen to me here carefully. Do not attempt to leave this place of your own. If you leave the wilderness before God's time, you will only have to return to rebuild the altar and renew your dedication to God. 2021, what do you want in God? I will promise you, whatever you want in God, it will lead through the wilderness. It will lead through tough times. It will lead through a process of learning and God being able to teach you things. And if you leave that, you know, that learning process, if you leave that time, then I promise you, you will have to return and you will have to rebuild the altar and renew your dedication to God. That can be rather costly, my friend. Rather, pay the lesser cost of obedience. Follow Jesus and remain in the wilderness, which is the will of God for your life. Can you imagine a wilderness, bad situations, circumstances, etc., can be a place to dwell in? Wow. Make no mistake, my friend, if you do not learn the lessons God had for you in 2020, you will see them maybe in 2021. You will see them, you know, you will have to overcome them to grow and be approved for what God has for you in 2021. Let me say that again. You will have to overcome those things in 2020 that you did not overcome to be able to move and the power and the spirit in 2021. God will not let you just slide here. These tests in 2020 were for you. They were for your spiritual growth and development. And if you did not overcome them, if you did not learn those lessons, then you will see them maybe in 2021, if not 2022. But I promise you, you will see them again, and you will have to overcome them to grow and to be approved for what God has for you. Most Christians do not rebuild that altar. Most Christians today do not go through those things that God has for their life. They just try to sidestep them, or they just ignore them, and there's no spiritual growth and development in their life. And it's just a continual process here of trying to rebuild an altar and repenting and renewing and dedication and stuff like that. And that becomes a normal Christian life, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to come into those testings and learn our lack and our weaknesses, and allow God to strengthen us and establish us and settle us down so that we can learn that lesson, and then we can come up out of the wilderness leaning upon our beloved. If not, then what happens is most Christians today just fall out of God. And sadly, that is what you have. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to learn those lessons. He wants us to move in the power of His Spirit so that we can do those things that He wants us to do in our life. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and Your many mercies. Father, Lord, thank You for the wilderness truths for modern times, Father. Lord, I learned so much in this every time, Father, Lord God. Every message, Father, Lord God, was deep into the heart, Father, Lord God. Lord, I thank You for this, and I thank You for the spiritual growth that I have seen in some lives, Father, Lord, that have listened to it, Father. Lord, we just love You, and we thank You, Father, Lord God. We thank You for the home group meeting, Father, Lord God. And we love You, Father, Lord God. You're so good, Father. Go with us into 2021, Father, Lord God. You know that perilous times are ahead, Father, Lord God. But let us go with You, Father. And we love You, and we, Lord, we just praise Your name, Father, Lord God. As Moses said, in Exodus, if Your Spirit does not go, then we will not go, Father. Go with us, Father, Lord. And we love and we thank You, Father. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.